Okay, good morning, everybody. Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. Birshas, our generous and gracious sponsor and hostess, Alyssa Axrod and her family, made this chus of this shir. Alyssa, bring you much nachas to you and your whole family and your husband, Arichos Yamim Vishanim, and only good health. So we are learning, as always, the Zeichen Nishmaso, Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoav Vachana, Alav Hashem, may his neshama merit on Aliyah, and this chus of the Torah we will share. We learn for a few weeks, is this chus for his refuah, but the Ribbono Shel Olam Rabba Smach Shavos B'Lev Ish, Atzas Hashem Hisakum. So today we are learning as per Alyssa, as is chus Aliyah Neshama. For Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya, may all the Torah that we learned in his merit accompany him to his place of rest in Gan Eden. Torah should be his chus for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya as a Zechira and Aliyah Neshama. With Alyssa's continued permission, Schus Refuah for Brach Avigail Bas Rachel Geta. So, Shar Chalei Yisrael, let us go to the Tefillah al HaDibur, please. Yibono Sh'olam, Yiratzim Fanech Al Racham V'chaner, Shetizakeni Hayam, V'chol Yam Mishmar Pi Ulishani Milashen Har Rechidus, V'ezahar Miladaber, Afilu Alish Yachid, V'kol Shekein Akal Yisrael, O Achelek Mehem, V'kol Shekein Misraim Amidosef Shal Kosh Baruch Hu, V'ezahar Miladaber, Divrei Sheker Chanufa, Mechokes Ka'as Gaiva Onas Dvarim, Abanis panim leitzanus v'chodibur asur v'zakeni shelo ledaber gim davar hatzarich inani gufi v'nafshi v'yu kol masai v'diburai l'shem shemayim amen v'amen. So I made a bracha before I started. Some of the women heard me. I'm going to begin right away by screen sharing. I have a share prepared. Let me just find what I'm looking for. Here it is. Could you see my screen, ladies? Yes, okay. So I was davening Mincha Shabbos afternoon. I was learning through Pirkei Avos after Mincha, and lo and behold, I came across the following Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And not only is it relevant to Shmiras HaLashon class, but I think it's so opportune. I love how Hashem arranges our calendar and our shiurim, because here we are the week of Lag BaOmer, and the famous tradition that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. And not only is this Mishnah so relevant to our class, but it is taught by none other than Rabbi Akiva himself. So I felt that this was really a siman min hashamayim, that we should spend some time talking about this Mishnah today. Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yod Zayin. Rabbi Akiva Omer. You said you could see my screen, yes? Okay, I'm going to translate according to Feldheim translation of the Mishnah. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Omer, the great Rabbi Akiva said, Schok v'kalus rosh margilin la'erva. Schok, a laughter, v'kalus rosh, and lightheadedness, margilin la'erva, brings a person to erva. We just had in Parashas Achrimos, Gilei Arayus, uncovering of nakedness. This translation is not according to Feldheim, it's according to Michal Haaretz. Schok v'kalus rosh margilin la'erva. Laughter and lightheadedness and silliness, if you will, more than silliness. What does Artsko say? Feldheim, jesting and frivolous lightheadedness lead a man to lewdness. Masores siag Torah. The tradition is offense for Torah. But I was also thinking that in the word masores, tradition, you have the word musar. So not only is the tradition, the masorah, offense for Torah, but also musar, chastisement, is offense for Torah. Maisro siag osher, tithing, giving maisro, is offense for wealth. Nidarim siag precious, taking vows are offense for abstinence. And finally, says Rabbi Akiva, siag Chachma Shtika. The fence for wisdom is silent. So what is the purpose of a fence? Mr. Irving Bunim Zichron al-Vracha, in his Ethics from Sinai, says, what is a fence? A fence serves a double purpose. Here Rabbi Akiva is teaching you what the fences are. What is the fence for Torah? What is the fence for Osher, Ashirus, wealth? What is the fence for Precious, abstinence, staying away from sin? And what is the fence for Chachma? What is the purpose of a fence? Mr. Irving Bunim writes in his Ethics from Sinai, a fence serves a double purpose. On the one hand, it protects whatever is within from outside elements. So think if you have a garden and you're growing carrots and lettuce and potatoes. Okay, if you put up a fence, the purpose of the fence is to keep, I'm going to stop screen sharing, we'll come to the sources later. You're going to the purpose of the fence is to keep everything outside from not coming in. So the rabbits and the deer and the bears, whatever else is on the outside that might want to eat your carrots and your potatoes and your lettuce, the fence keeps everything from the outside out of the inside, and on the other hand, it prevents whatever is within from overrunning its boundaries. So it also protects, it gives a border to the carrots and the lettuce. It tells it where to grow. So the fence does two things. It keeps outside elements out, and it keeps inside elements in. So when Rabbi Akiva tells us that Masoros is a siyag Torah, what protects the Torah is Musar, is chastisement and tradition. It keeps the Torah inside of you, and it protects you from running out to where you should not be. If you give ma'aser, you are protecting your wealth. If you give ma'aser, so you can become wealthy. Not really, you have to give ma'aser because the Torah says that you have to give the ma'aser, and don't forget others, the poor, the convert, etc. But the fence keeps the wealth in, and it also keeps you from overrunning your boundaries. Nidarim siyagla precious. A person takes a vow of abstinence. It protects him from, think of the nazir, from running out and behaving in ways he should not behave. It also protects outside elements from coming in. And finally, of course, for the purposes of our shir very much, siyagla chachma shtika. Now, if you notice, and we're going to address this later in this year, the lashon of the Mishnah has just changed. So I stopped screen sharing, but I'm going to put it back for you. Okay? When it comes to Torah, Masoras siyag Torah, Musar, chastisement, and tradition are a fence for Torah. Meiser is a fence for riches. Vows are a fence for abstinence. However, the last lesson of the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva really changes. Siyag l'chachma shtika. Why doesn't it say shtika siyag l'chachma? Like in pattern with all of the other teachings of the Mishnah here. Why does Rabbi Akiva say, Siyag l'chachma shtika, the fence to wisdom is silence? And that's something we're going to address a little bit later. But it's something that we speak so much about in this class, and that is the importance of measuring our words, of counting our words, of knowing. I just taught it in a different shir. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zatzal, teaches in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Av, Mishnah Tes Vav, that he quotes it. Okay, it's not just hearsay. Rabbi Dr. Twersky says that a person has, I forget the source that he quotes, X amount of words to live in his lifetime. He quotes on Amor Ma'at Vasei Harbe. So try not to speak too much, but do a lot. You will lengthen your years by speaking less. So Rabbi Akiva comes and he tells us, Siyag l'chachma shtika. The fence for Chachma is Shtika, and it's something that we are so challenged with and something that we are working on. We were just at the Shabbos table the other day. Maybe it wasn't the Shabbos table, it was just three of us. I don't remember where we were sitting. It was over the weekend. And my husband called, what he started to say, and then he said, forget it. So me and my daughter said, what? He said, you're all better off if I don't say what we're saying. They said, Baruch Hashem. He was holding back. Siyag l'chachma is shtika. The value of silence. So you all know the English expression, silence is gold. And there's a story of the Chavetz Chaim. And I was trying to find that night for at least 20 minutes. I wanted to go for a fast walk yesterday evening. I worked on this shir first and prepared shir. And then I worked on a different shir. Whew. And then I worked on this year, and then I said, I want to take 45 minutes to go for a fast walk because it's around 6 o'clock, but I remembered a story that I wanted to share. I spent 20 minutes trying to find it in the book where it's brought down. I couldn't find it. But it's a story brought down. And it's in the biography of the Chavetz Chaim by M.M. Yashar. It's a lengthy biography, I could not find it. But a traveling preacher once came to the Chavetz Chaim, and he said, what am I doing wrong? He said, I preach, I give shiurim, I can speak for 2 hours, and I see that the kehillah has not changed. After I finish speaking, they go back to the old ways. So the Chavetz Chaim said to him, you kept the whole kehillah quiet for 2 hours. Do you know the value of 2 hours of silence? How could you say you're not accomplishing anything with your shiurim? The fact that they sat there for 2 hours in silence, that in itself is of great reward. So who teaches us this lesson? Who comes, and by the way, Pirkei Avos is always read the Shabbosos between Pesach to Shavuos, which means that Pirkei Avos is part of our journey up to Ma'amad Har Sinai. Who is a Tana who teaches us this very lesson? Rabbi Akiva. It's the same Rabbi Akiva who we met in Rashi in last week's Parsha. In Parsha's Kedoshim, was Achra Mos Kedoshim, we have the most famous Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Yud Ches, Lo Sikom V'lo Sitor Es B'nei Amecha, Ve'ahavta L'rei Acha Kamocha Ani Hashem, and you should love for your fellow what you love for yourself. And it's an extremely short Rashi, and we all know what Rashi says. Amar Rabbi Akiva, about Ve'ahavta L'rei Acha Kamocha, you should love for your fellow what you love for yourself. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Is that called Godot B'Torah? This is the great principle in the Torah. So here we have a teaching on Shabbos from Rabbi Akiva quoting Rashi. by Rashi and Chumash, a teaching by Rabbi Akiva as we journey through Pirkei Avos, and they are really intertwined and they're really connected. The morning teaching that we relate in Shoham with Rashi is not really about speech, but Rabbi Akiva's Zakal Godovator, or the way you want to be treated, i.e. the way you want to be spoken about and the way you want to be spoken to, is included, of course, in love for your fellow, what you love for yourself. It says Rabbi Akiva, Zakal Godovator. It's the same Rabbi Akiva who comes around and he tells us, Sieg l'chachma shtika, you should know what the fence for wisdom is. The fence for wisdom is silence. And what do we say in the Tfil al Hadibur? If anyone, I pay attention when we say the Tfil al Dibur, not just reciting the words, but actually paying attention to what we're saying. It's a very powerful Tfila. And how do we end? V'zakeni shelo v'dabar, ki'im davar hatzarich l'inani gufi v'nafshi, v'yukol ma'asai v'diburai, l'shem shemaim, Hashem should help me bizocha, that I should not speak only matters that are of necessity for my body and my soul. Siyag l'chach mashtika. How much does a person need to speak extra? We all know that the more we speak, the more trouble we get into. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky, Zatzal teaches as follows, into V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, which is the famous mitzvah ben adam l'chavero, which Rabbi Akiva says is the klal gadol v'tar. Rabbi Dr. Avin J. Twersky is a beautiful pshat on this mitzvah and on this teaching of Rabbi Akiva. And he says as follows, I'm quoting from the Sefer Twersky on Chumash. Okay? Rabbi Akiva's statement is sometimes translated as Zakal Godova Torah. This verse is the cardinal or primary rule of Torah. What does exactly Zakal Godova Torah mean? We have to translate it properly to know what Rabbi Akiva is really teaching us. This verse is the cardinal or primary rule of Torah. Says Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zatzal, this is an inaccurate translation. Rabbi Akiva's words, this is the klal gadol, mean this is a great all-encompassing principle of Torah. And translating it correctly has broad implication. This, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, is the great all-encompassing principle of Torah. What does that mean? A klal, ze klal gadol v'tar. A klal is a general principle under which there are many pratim. Each specific item must have a characteristic of the klal. So the klal, my example, he's going to give another example in a minute. But my klal is, we were talking about a garden before. So my klal is vegetables. And every prat of the klal must have a characteristic of the vegetable. So the klal of my garden is, this is a vegetable garden. That means that everything in your carrots, potatoes, lettuce, they all fall into the klal of, they're all pratim of the general klal. Says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, if any specific item does not have a characteristic of the klal, it doesn't belong there. So for example, I wouldn't say that I'm growing Jaffa oranges in my vegetable garden because Jaffa oranges are not a prat that's part of the klal. So start to think to yourself, if Ahavta l'reicha kamocha is klal gadol b'Torah, what does that mean of all the mitzvos? Klal gadol b'Torah means love for your fellow what you love for yourself is the principle, the category, the great all-encompassing principle of Torah. That means that all other 612 mitzvos must relate back to the klal. What's the klal? Love your fellow like you love yourself. For example, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, animate objects. Is a klal? A rock lacks the characteristic of being in the principle of animate objects. It is inanimate, and therefore it cannot be classified under the klal. Therefore, you shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself is a great klal of Torah, means it encompasses all 613 mitzvos. And each mitzvah must partake of the characteristic of the klal. Therefore, every single mitzvah must relate to Ahavas Yisrael and contribute to Ahavas Yisrael. And therefore, if a person does not feel an increase in Ahavas Yisrael, which is the whole, not only is Shmiras HaLashon meant to improve us morally, ethically, spiritually, and religiously, but of course it's meant to improve our interaction with Adam Chaveira. It also fits under the klal of Klal Gadol B'Torah. Therefore, if a person does not have an increase in Ahavas Yisrael after the performance of a mitzvah, it means the mitzvah was not done properly. A properly performed mitzvah must contribute to Ahavas Yisrael. For example, and then he writes, this teaching to me was nothing less than shocking, writes Rabbi Dr. Twersky. I considered some mitzvahs I had done as properly performed. My tefillin are top quality. There were a little tongue-in-cheek, at least sometimes when I had proper kavanah. The matzah I ate at the Seder was the highest quality shmura. The sounding of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah that I heard was without fault. The esrog that I used on Sukkos was free of the slightest blemish. I felt I had fulfilled these mitzvahs properly, but I confess I did not feel an increase in Ahavas Yisrael after these mitzvahs. However, Rabbi Akiva's klal necessitates that Ahavas Yisrael is an ingredient in every single mitzvah, and that is one way to interpret, and a very powerful way to interpret, that everything else we do must fit under the umbrella of love your fellow as you love yourself. And certainly when it comes to speech, we would be wise to remember that the way that I want to be spoken about is the way that others, that I should speak about others. And so Rabbi Akiva says, Siyag l'chach mashtika, like you say in English, if you have nothing nice to say, say nothing. Who was this great Rabbi Akiva who teaches us this Klal Gadol B'Torah and who teaches us in the Mishnah that Siyag L'Chach Mashtika? So let's have a little bit of a short biography of Rabbi Akiva. By the way, this Erev Shabbos 18 ER is Lag BaOmer. When the tradition tells us that the students stopped dying, and also Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Hilula and the Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is one of the five students Rabbi Akiva established when he went to the south. But it's a cause for celebration, but also contemplation. So I'm now quoting from Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, Shlita, on Pirkei Avos. And on this Mishnah, actually, he gives us a little bit of a biography. What Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau does in his commentary to Pirkei Avos is before he comments on the teaching of the Mishnah, he always tells you a little bit about who taught this Mishnah. So who is Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva belonged to the third generation of Tanaim. He was one of the greatest sages of Israel, whose influence is still felt to this day. His stature is reflected in the teaching of Maseches Menachos, that when Hashem showed Moshe, Rabbi Akiva, in a prophetic vision, Moshe exclaimed, Master of the world, if you have a man such like this, why are you giving the Torah through me? Akiva, that's how great Rabbi Akiva was. Akiva came from a simple family. We know that his father was a convert. Excuse me. Interestingly, this I never knew before. His father, Yosef, the convert, was a descendant of Sisera, the Canaanite general who invaded the land of Israel in the time of Devorah. I didn't know that. Rabbi Akiva, of course, worked as a shepherd for Kalba Savua. He was one of the wealthiest men in Jerusalem. The 40-year-old Akiva knew nothing. Kalba Savua's daughter Rachel saw something special, and she said, if I marry you, will you go learn Torah? He assented, and they married. Kalba Savua was so upset, he cut them off. He left the couple totally destitute. In the early days of their marriage, they lived in a shed which was used to store straw. Rabbi Akiva promised Rachel, if I had the money, I would buy you a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. It was a tiara that the maidens, that the girls, the women at that time would wear with the skyline of Yerushalayim. Initially, Rabbi Akiva found learning Torah so difficult that he wanted to give up. But one day he saw water dripping into a rock, and he said, if water can pierce a rock, then Torah can pierce my heart. Interestingly, Rabbi Akiva, this I also didn't know, had a son from a previous marriage. And he and the son from a previous marriage went to learn Torah together in grade school. He proceeded so well that he then went to learn from Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, the greatest sages of the generation. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar compared Rabbi Akiva's unremitting efforts in Torah to the person who decided to uproot a mountain and left nothing stopped in the way of his resolve. At the end of 12 years of learning, he decided it was time to come home. As he approached the house, he heard an old man, a bothersome person in the neighborhood, said to his wife, how long will you continue to live in a state of living widowhood? Your father was right to disown you. She said, if my husband were to hear me, he would remain in the yeshiva for another 12 years. Without even entering his home, Rabbi Akiva turned around and went back for 12 more years. So he had 12,000 pairs of students. We're going to come to the Gemara momentarily. 12 years and 12 years, not 24 years. So the Gemara tells us he had 12,000 pairs of students. Those 12 years became pairs with each other as represented in the Talmidim that he built. In addition to learning from Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua also served Nachum Ish Gamzu for 22 years. That's brought down in the Gemara Maseches Chagiga, which is very, very interesting because we know famously about Rabbi Akiva, Maseches Brachos 61. Samech Aleph, we know famously about Rabbi Akiva that he was once traveling and he couldn't find lodging in a town. They refused him lodging and all he had was a candle, a rooster, what was the fourth, third thing that he had? He had a candle, the wind blew it out, a rooster, a donkey, right, for traveling? Yes, yes, thank you. So he couldn't find lodging, so the Gemara tells him, there, Maseches Brachos, that he slept in the forest, and the wind blew out the candle, the lion ate the donkey. He lost all of his things. And what does he say? In the morning, he saw that there were bandits who invaded the town. Had he actually got lodging, he would have been killed. So what does Rabbi Akiva say? Called Abed Rachman, Latav Abed, after the candle went out, after the donkey died, after the rooster was eaten. He said, everything that a merciful one does is for the good. So it's very interesting that he spent 22 years learning under Nachum Ish Gamzu. Why is Nachum Ish Gamzu so famous? Because what Nachum Ish Gamzu say? Gam zu latova. So clearly Rabbi Akiva absorbed his rabbi's teaching. At the end of the second 12-year period, Rabbi Akiva returned home again, this time accompanied by his 24,000 students. Rachel's neighbors offered to lend her an appropriate outfit in which to greet him, but she demurred, citing the verse, a righteous man knows the spirit of his animal. Very interesting from Mishlei. Rachel came before Rabbi Akiva. She fell on her face and she kissed his feet. His students tried to push her away, but Rabbi Akiva famously said, Hanichule, leave her alone. Shali v'sharachem shalahi. Everything I have, everything you have, is because of her. Kalba Savua at this point regretted how he cut off his children. And he found a halachic way. I didn't know this. Rabbi Akiva found a halachic way to annul the vow of Kalba Savua. Very interesting. And Kalba Savua gave Rabbi Akiva and Rachel half his wealth. Rabbi Akiva gave Rachel Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. And when some protested this act, because it would put other people to shame, Rabbi Akiva said, she suffered much with me for the sake of Torah, and he gave it to her. Okay, so this is a brief overview of the life of Rabbi Akiva, who teaches us Siyag L'Chachma, who teaches us two teachings that really go hand in hand. One is you shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself. This is the Klal Gadol B'Torah. That means every single mitzvah has to increase Ahavas Yisrael. And if it doesn't increase Ahavas Yisrael, you're not doing the mitzvah properly. And the other teaching of Rabbi Akiva that we read Shabbos afternoon is Siyag L'Chachma Shtika. If you have nothing nice to say, you should say nothing. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos furthermore about Rabbi Akiva. Hey, there's so much to speak about in this Gemara. Thursday night we spoke about a totally different aspect of the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos, Samech Beis. Amru, Shneim Asar Elf Zugim Tamidim Hayula Rabbi Akiva, this great Rabbi Akiva that we're speaking about. This Friday is Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of disciples, Megivas and Antiparas. From Gevas to Antiparas, Vakula Mesu Beperk Achad, keywords, Mepleshon Lo Nahagu Kavod Zelaza. They all died during one time period because they did not afford cover to one another. And yes, this Gemara is much spoken about. And how could it be that they didn't afford cover to one another? But for the purposes of today's Shir, the Gemara does have a Pshat. And the Pshat does not work well with V'ahavta Recha Kamilcha Zekal Gadol B'Torah and Siyag L'Chach Mashtika. And you will see, in fact, from their punishment, the area of their body which was punished, which led to their death, reflects the fact that something was amiss in their koach hadibur. The Torah was utterly desolate. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? He didn't go up. He went down to, He didn't give up. He went down to the south and he started all over again. Five tamidim. So 24,000 died. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, Ben Shemua, Behem, Hem, Hem, Midu Torah, Oso Sha'a, because the world would be desolate without Torah. If there's no one learning Torah, then the world would cease to exist. Al Shosha Dvarim Shimon, Jamat Tzadikai Mishar Knesset HaGdola. And he used to say that upon three things the world stands, and the first one is Torah. If there's no Torah, the world would be desolate. So the 24,000 Gedolei Torah just died. So what should we do? Instead of going into a permanent state of mourning and giving up, which I think would have been the normal reaction for most people, Rabbi Akiva went down to the south, and he started all over again with five. I don't know, if that was me, I would think I'm the worst teacher in the world. I think I'm a terrible person. I would think God is punishing me. And clearly all my years of effort were for naught. And I wouldn't have the courage to go down to the south and start with five. Abach, 24,000 to five. That was Rabbi Akiva. If Torah can pierce a rock, if water can pierce a rock, Torah can pierce my heart. And Rabbi Akiva leaves us some of the most profound and timeless teachings So much so that Moshe Rabbeinu said when he sat in the back of the Beis Medrash, he didn't understand Rabbi Akiva's shir. Rabbi Lau doesn't quote it, but that's what the Gemara says there. And he said to Hashem, if you have such a person, why are you giving the Torah through me? Tana, but I'm going to speak specifically about. Kula mesu mi pesach v'ara tzarech. They all died between this time period. So why Lag Ba'Omer? So one way to understand the Lag Ba'Omer is the day that they stopped dying is that they died over a 33-day period and then they stopped. Because none of the Talmidim died on Shabbosos and none of them died on Rosh Chodesh. So if you take off the Shabbosos and the Yomim Tovim days, Pesach, and the Shabbosos and Rosh Chodesh, you come to a 33-day period in which they died. Because the Gemara says, Beferish, that they died from Pesach v'ad Atzeres. Pesach is Pesach, and Atzeres is the biblical word for Shavuos. So how could we say the Lag Ba'Omer is the day that they stopped dying? Because if none of them died on the Chagim, and none of them died on Rosh Chodesh, and none of them died on the Shabbosos of those days, then you actually died over a 33-day period. What did they die from? And that's what I would like to focus on. Amar Rav Chama Bar Abba, the E. Sema Rabbi Chia Bar Avin, Rabbi Chama Bar Abba says, and some say Rabbi Chia Bar Avin said, Kulan Meisu Misara was a bad death. It's interesting that the Gemara uses that word, Misara. And when we talk about slanderous speech, the umbrella is Lashon Hara. Kulan Meisu Misara. The umbrella or the cloud of all the sins of speech fall under the general category of Lashon Hara, perhaps an allusion in the Misa Ra'ah to Lashon Hara, because you will see what the punishment was. Kula Mesu Misa Ra, Maihi, what was the death? Amar Rabbi Nachman, Askra. They died from Askra. So what is Askra? So the Art Scroll footnote teaches as follows. An inflammation of the throat. Where does we take talking so for granted. But Rabbi Kiva says, don't take it so for granted. You want to know how to preserve your wisdom, be quiet. And it is impossible that if Nachum Ish Gamzu influenced his life, and Rabbi Kiva was Ezu Chacham Elomi Mikol Adam, he was the Chacham Elomi Mikol Adam, it's not possible that his Mesorah is a Siag LaTorah, that his life experiences, my grandmother, Lal Sham, used to say in Yiddish, life is a school. That his life experiences did not shape his Torah teachings. His students all died with an inflammation of the throat that begins in the digestive tract. It is the worst of hundreds of forms of death, according to the Gemara Maseches Brachos. Askra is particularly dehumanizing because it blocks the victim's power of speech. That is a direct quote from the Art Scroll Maseches Yevamah 62b3, footnote number 33. An inflammation of the throat, that begins in the digestive tract. It is the worst of hundreds of forms of death. Askra is particularly dehumanizing because it blocks the victim's power of speech. And we know that the Ribono Shel Olam pays us back measure for measure. B'midah she'adam modeh, modeh dino. And the way in which a person measures others, so he will be measured. So clearly, it's not an accident that the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Kiva's Tamim mipnei shlo nohagu kavod zeh lazeh. And yes, there are many ways, according to Drash, to interpret and explain the meaning of this Gemara. But on the basic pshah, the punishment, I'm sorry, it's hard to say, but their death... I don't use the expression fits a crime, chas v'sham, but the Chazal are trying to teach us something. And it is particularly dehumanizing because it blocks a victim's power of speech. What is our mark as a human being? Adam lenefesh chai, Bereishis 2:7. V'havas b'adam l'ruach memala. I think the most famous unkos on the Torah. Man became a speaking spirit. In fact, what Salvechik says in medieval Hebrew, a human being is known as a medaber, a speaker, because our koch as a human being is the power of speech. So it is none other than Rabbi Akiva of V'ahavterecha Kamocha, as we explained according to Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Rabbi Akiva, who we had a brief biography, Rabbi Akiva, who teaches us Sieg L'chach Mashtika, Rabbi Akiva, whose Talmidim died of Askra because Mepnei Shlo Nahagu Kavad Zalazeh, which blocks the victim's power of speech, who teaches us Sieg L'chach Mashtika. So having said all of that, let us now go back to screen share. Here we are. Okay, let's first look at the Bar Tanura on Pirkei Avos. So the Bar Tanura, could you see my screen? I forgot to ask. Yes, thank you. I don't think other speakers constantly say that, but I've had a couple of times where I was teaching and it turned out after that people could not see my screen, so I think I'm scarred. Okay, Vartanura says in Pirkei Avos, Siag l'chach mashtika. So of course we could look at, first I thought I was going to teach a Vartanura on every piece of the Mishnah, but I realized that was not realistic with the time constraints, and I really want to focus on Siag l'chach mashtika, the fence to wisdom is silence. So the Vartanura says, Bema anan kaimi. What are we talking about here? Okay. Are we talking that you shouldn't say Dvar Torah? Is that what we mean? When it comes to Divrei Torah, words of Torah, you should be quiet. The Pasuk says, you should contemplate Torah day and night. So it can't be, says the Bartanura, the Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, who Moshe didn't understand his shir. It can't be that the Mishnah means you should be quiet when it comes to Divrei Torah. That's not correct. If Rabbi Akiva is talking about being quiet from not speaking Rechilus and Lashon Hara and cursing, that's a Doraisa. You don't need to tell me that. The Torah we just had Parshas Kedoshim. No sekala chayrish, you should not curse a deaf person. And Rashi says it means anyone who is alive, you should not curse. No sekala chayrish. So it can't be referring to klala. You can't curse your parents, you can't curse an alive person. That's a deoraisa. I don't need a bikiva and Torah Shabbat and the Mishnah to come along and tell me not to curse. The Torah told me not to curse. I don't need Rabbi Akiva to come around and tell me don't speak rechilas on lashon hara because the Torah told me last week's parsha. Lo seleich rachil bamecha. Lo seleich Rachiel, Rechilus, Ba'amecha, don't be a gossipmonger. It was a toss-up between focusing on Parshas Kedoshim and now Pasuk, or focusing on the Mishnah, but since we focused on the Pasuk of Lo Seich, Rechil, Ba'amecha before, but we never focused on this Mishnah in Shmiras Halashon class, I thought it would be more appropriate. So it can't be talking about teaching Torah. Of course you should speak words of Torah. It can't be talking about not speaking Rechilus and Lashon Hara and Klalus, because the Torah already warned me that. So what are we talking about? Ha, Einu Medaber Ela B'shtika Medivrei HaRishush. We're talking about silence in words that are permitted between man and friend. So technically your words are permitted, but we all know what happens if we speak too much, too frequently, too excessively to other people. What's going to happen? It's going to inevitably come around to some sort of topic that's not appropriate. So Rabbi Akiva cautions you and he says, listen, you should of course speak the Divrei Torah. And the Torah already told you not to speak Lashon Hara, Rechilus, and Klalus. So I'm telling you, put up a fence, just like you put up a fence for Torah, Musar, and Mesorah. And just like you put up a fence for your Ashirus, which is your Maisros. So I'm telling you to put up a fence for your Chachma. And you know what the fence for Chachma is? Shtika. Even if something is permitted, you don't have to talk excessively about it. This relates exactly to the Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim in last week's Parsha. What does the Ramban say? Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh on Yashem al keichamin, be holy for I, God, am holy. The Ramban says, al tu navel b'shus ha-Torah. Just because something is permitted, don't be excessive in your behavior in that realm. It's permitted to speak. But how much you have to speak. And in fact, the Ramban gives an exact example that relates to the teaching of the Bartanur here. The Ramban says, Lo sach Rabbi Chia sicha b'teilu l'olam. Rabbi Chia never spoke extra words in his life. So what is Rabbi Akiva telling you? Don't talk so excessively. You don't constantly need to be chattering. This week's Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor ends with the Mekalal. What happened with the Mekalal? How did this whole sin happen? Who is his mother? Shlomis Bas Divri. Shlomit, shalom alechen, bad dibri. She couldn't stop talking. So look what happened. The Egyptian took advantage of her, and now her son doesn't know where to pitch his tent, and now he's cursing and he's blaspheming the name of God. Wow, she's there. Shlomit, bad dibri. She was chatterbox, bad dibri, the daber. Shlomit, shalom alechen, she couldn't stop talking. So she talked so much, the Egyptian took advantage of her, and now look what happened. So we're not talking about forbidden words. Of course, as the bartender of the Mishnah, doesn't mean you should speak forbidden words. Everyone knows you shouldn't speak forbidden words. But measure even the words that are permitted bein adam mechaveru. Beferish. B'shtika medivrei harishusha bein adam mechaveru. Sheyesho adam lema'ed hadibram kol ma she'afshar. Lo sachwa b'chiyah siyecha b'teilu l'olam. Ramban to Kedoshim Vayikra 19:2. Don't talk so much. Why do you need to talk so much, says the Bartanura? He's explaining the teaching of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, look what I'm to my Talmidim. I was listening to a shir last night by Rabbi Zevlef on my Fastwalk. This I couldn't find the source in the book, but it's brought down biography of the Chavetz Chaim, the story of the Chavetz Chaim, when he said to a traveling preacher, you kept everyone quiet for 2 hours, says the Chavetz Chaim. You're telling me your words don't have an impact? You know this chus of keeping a whole congregation quiet for 2 hours? Anyway, after the 20 minutes of searching, I went for fast. I was listening to Shir Barabai Zev Lef, and he was saying that the purpose of Sfiras Omer, he says it happens to be that the students of Rabbi Akiva died during the time period of Sfira. Hashem is sending us a message. He said Sfiras Omer is a time period for Tikkun Hamidos, Derech Eretz called Mal Torah. Before we come to Shavuos, every day we have to work on Tikkun Hamidos. It is a Tikkun, therefore, for the death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva if we work on our Midos. He said it's not a time of mourning. Mourning is for Tisha B'Av. Interesting, because we always associate this time period with Avelos for the students of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Zev Lef said it's not a time of Avelos. It's a time of tikkun hamidos, which will be misakin their deaths. That's what this time period is. No wonder we read Pirkei Avos. So a person shouldn't speak so much. If you speak too much, you're going to get in trouble. V'aleim omar Shlomo, like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, gam evil macharish chachamich hashev. I put the Pasuk here in my footnote on the screen. It's Mishlei Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Chav Ches. And Mishlei says, the wisest of all men says, gam evil macharish chachamich hashev. Even a fool, if he keeps silent, he'll be deemed as a chacham. Otem svasav navon. If he closes his lips, he will be considered wise and discerning. So the Bartanura says, Rabbi Akiva is telling you, of course you should speak Devei Torah. You know, don't come to your Shabbos table and say, oh, you know, I can't speak. That's not what it means. Of course you should say Devei Torah. Of course you should use your words for a bracha. Of course you should sing Zmiros. And it's not talking about forbidden speech, because the Torah already told me about forbidden speech. What do I need Rabbi Akiva tell me about forbidden speech for? Measure your words that are permitted. Because even if something is permitted, if you talk too much, it's going to lead to sin. Kol marbe dvarim mevi chet. So Chazal say, I'm not saying that to you. Tosfos Yom Tov asked a question that I addressed in the beginning of Shir. Why is the order switched? Masores siag latorah. Maestro siag laosher, nedarim siag laprishus. So it should be shtika siag lachachma. You see that? Yes, let's say yes. The people I could see nodding yes. Why does Rabbi Akiva change the order? If everything follows a certain pattern, masores, which can be translated as musar, chastisement, and masora, is a fence to protect Torah. Maisro siag laosher. Maiser is a fence to protect the shivus. Nidarim siag laprishus. Vows are a fence to protect abstinence. So it should say shtika siag lachachma. Silence is a fence for wisdom. It doesn't say that. It says the fence for wisdom is silence. So I'm going to explain it outside and then inside by the Tosfos Yom Tov. But first, there are other things that can protect Torah. Aseh Lecha Rav will be a siag laTorah. Having a koveya itim laTorah, Shabbos 31a, one of the six questions will be asked, kovata itim laTorah. Being koveya itim laTorah is a siag for Torah. Shmiras Einayim is a siag for Precious and Erva. Doing chesed and welcoming the poor into your home is a siyug for osher. So I was giving meiser. Donating of your time to a chesed cause is also a siyug for osher. When it comes to chachma, Rabbi Akiva says, there's one siyug. Wow. Not multiple options. When it comes to Torah, there are many things that can be a fence to protect Torah. When it comes to Osher, there are multiple things that can be a fence to protect your Ashivas. When it comes to Chachma, and Chachma ain Zakin el Zashakana Chachma, Adarta Pnei Zakin, Asuk's Parsha. Chachma, when Chazar referred to Chachma, they're talking about Chachma Satorah. Zakin is Zashakana Chachma, and the only Chachma is Chachma Satorah. So you want to know what protects Chachma, says Rabbi Akiva, there's not multiple options. There's one thing, and that's Shtika. The Tosfos Yom Tov says, Siag l'chachma shtika. V'lo amar shtika siag l'chachma, which I already explained to you outside. It doesn't say, like all the rest of the teachings of Rabbi Akiva that you see up here on the screen, doesn't say, Masor siag l'torah, Maisro siag l'oshin, Adarim siag l'prisho, shtika siag l'chachma. Why does Rabbi Akiva change the order? Dishaneha. Dishaneha. It's changed here. Why? Lafisha ein shum siag lachachma. Ooh, I need to bold this for you. Lafisha ein shum siag lachachma ki im hashtika bilvad. There is no other option to protect your wisdom. We talk about wisdom, we're not talking about wisdom of the Ummah Sa'olam and wisdom of Shtusim of this world, and wisdom of modern day culture. We're talking about the wisdom of Torah. There is no other fence for Chachma. Ki im hashtika bilvad. Lahachitane siyag kodem. That is why when it comes to Chachma, siyag comes first. So the accurate translation of siyag lechachma shtika is the fence. The meaning the only fence for protecting your Chachma is shtika. Masha ein kein inach, not so like the other ones. The afal gav shekal achad siyag oso davar, even though Masoris is a fence for Torah, and Meiser is a fence for Osher. Nevertheless, mikol makom, yesh lo oso davar siyag acher milvad zeh. Nevertheless, there is for those other things, other fences besides for that. I am quoting, says the Tosfos Yom Tov Midrash Rabbi Shmuel. So there are other things that will protect the other sources that you seek to protect. But when it comes to Chachma, Rabbi Kiva says, take it from me. My students died such a dehumanizing death, and their power of speech was blocked. What defines us as a human being? A man in medieval Hebrew, says Rav, is a medaber. It was particularly dehumanizing because it blocks the victim's power of speech. So Rabbi Akiva says, I'm going to tell you how to protect your Chachma. If you want to protect your Chachma, keep your silence. I wanted to teach more, but I don't have time. Let me see what I wanted to tell you. Rav Sham Shurfal Hirsch, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, teaches, Siyag lechachma shtika. Surely this does not mean absolute silence, like we have already seen. What is meant is the art of remaining silent, practiced by him who would rather say nothing at all than deliver a rash or ill-considered statement. The wise person realizes it's better to say nothing at all than to deliver a rash or ill-considered statement. This is the person who listens quietly to the views of others in order to learn from them, and who does not have the urge to shine forth with his own words and his own opinions. Such a person will devote more time to thought than he will to speech, and will never run the danger of making any statement that is thoughtless or ill-considered. So a nice way to sum up what we've been speaking about. Sham Shemfal Hirsch says, someone who lets his mouth run ultimately runs the very grave danger of making a statement that is thoughtless or ill-considered. Because the less you speak, the less danger you have of coming to say something inappropriate, the less danger you have of killing somebody else with your words, the less danger you have of violating Vahatha Kamocha Zekal Gabadav Batar, which is taught us by the very same Rabbi Akiva who teaches us Siyag Lechach Mashtika. We always read Parshas Kedoshim during Sfiras HaOmer, and we always read Perka Avos during the Sfiras HaOmer. Because says Rabbi Zev Lef, what is the purpose of Sfiras HaOmer? Tikkun HaMidos. Because he said a very good question. He said, were they preparing for Matan Torah the first year of Sfiras HaOmer? They didn't even know what they were preparing for. They didn't have Torah. How could you prepare for something you don't know what you're getting? So it really is a time period of Tikkun HaMidos. And once we rectify our Midos, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, then we can come to receive the Torah. And when we are able to do this, then it will be a Tikkun for the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. I'm just going to end by quoting Henny Machlis. According to Rabbi Machlis, one of the teachings that was very close to Henny's heart was from the Zohar. Okay, talking about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, giving us the hidden aspects of Torah, Lag Bomer. It says that in the same way a person will be held accountable, listen carefully, Henny Machlis was one of her favorite teachings, the same way a person will be held accountable for any negative word they utter, so too they'll be held accountable for any good word they could have said, but did not say. So it's a balance between knowing when to be silent to protect ourselves and others from harmful words, and knowing when to speak because it is a positive communication and will bring us and others up. And the Zohar says, if you could have said something good, but you did not, you'll be held accountable for that as well. Henny loved this teaching. She would quote it all the time. And she implemented it into her own life. Even in her casual interactions, Henny always uttered encouraging words. As one of her children testified, she had a nice thing to say to every person she saw, and that person walked away with a smile. For example, when she saw a beggar on the street, she would say, I like the buckle on your pocketbook. Henny's greetings were tailored to the person she was encountering. Her sister-in-law recalls she built up everyone wherever she went. I was married more than 30 years ago. Whenever Henny saw my husband, she would tell him she remembers the Dvar Torah he gave at our Shavah Brachos. And to prove how much she valued his Divrei Torah, she would quote sections back to him. The Mishnah tells us, Shimon beno Omer, Shimon the son of Rabban Gamliel says, Kol yamai gadalti bein hachachamim, all my days I grew up amongst the sages. Here the word chacham is used as well. Velo matzati leguftav ala shtika. Look what Shimon the son of Rabbi Gamliel says. You know what the trade of the chachamim is? Shtika. You know what Rabbi Akiva says? You know how to protect your chachma if you want to be in that group of chachamim? Shtika. Shimon ben Osher Rabbi Gamliel says, Kol yamai gadalti bein hachachamim velo matzati leguftav ala shtika. Velo hamidjashua ikar ala maisa. Learning is not the ikar, but rather doing. Vechol hamar bedvarim maybe chay. The more words we speak, the more we run the risk of bringing sin. The less words we speak, the more cautious we are, the better chance we have of tikkun amidos, of preparing ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah, and of rectifying the sins of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva during this time period, who died a particularly dehumanizing death because they did not show kavod, it's hard to say, to one another, and so their own power of speech was blocked. Says Rabbi Akiva, you want to know what the klal of Torah is? Everything has to fit. You want to know how to guard your wisdom? There's only one option. Not shtika siyag lechachma, but siyag, not shtika is a siyag for chachma, but shtika siyag lechachma is shtika. I'm going to quote from one halacha just to end. Old information. The prohibition, if you have to go, I understand, you could catch the last 2 minutes on my Torah. The prohibition against speaking rechilus may apply even if the listener is already aware of the information being conveyed. So even if you think the person knows the rechilus already, why can't I say, Lo seilech rechil b'amecha, precious kadoshim, 2 days ago. The prohibition against speaking rechilus may apply even if the listener is already aware of the information being conveyed. Rechilus includes any statement which may foster animosity. Repeating how someone maligned or acted against the listener might make the listener even more aware of the details, and it will cause added hatred. And this fits in so beautifully to our shir today. The more silent you are, the less you run the risk of killing somebody and killing yourself. Moreover, that's the Gemara Maseches Arachin. I don't mean literally anyone's going to chas v'sham take a knife and stab themselves, but Gemara tells us Lashon Hara kills three. Moreover, if the listener had not yet given much thought to the information, repeating it could be a cause for animosity to form. So even if you think that person knows already, it is still prohibited to tell them over the negative report. Why? Because number one, it could increase animosity. Now they have more details. And number two, maybe he wasn't really paying attention. But you bringing it up is now going to make him really think about what was done to him. And it increases, instead of a havas Yisrael, it will increase sinas Yisrael, which we are all trying to avoid. So Be'ezer Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam should help us. Should help me. I don't know about you. Should help me to learn the lessons, to be misakin for the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. To learn the teachings of Rabbi Akiva, to prepare ourselves with tikkun amidos derech aretz kadma l'Torah, so that we can come to the end of this count and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, here we are. We are ready. May this shir be a zchus aliyah neshama for Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav v'Chana Lavasham, but also Zev Wolf ben Yeshaya. May both neshamos have aliyos in Gan Eden. Tehi menuchasam. Thank you to Alyssa and her family. Everyone should have a week of besuros tovos and a meaningful lag ba'omer. Thank you so much. Kol tov.